B-Pod Studios.
Great player at Duke. Great defender. Was a coach. And, of course, GM and president. He, of course, is Billy King on the Comcast Business Hotline. BK, what's up, brother?
How you doing, Ant?
What's going on, man? What's good? You got going on for the fourth?
I got to go to Atlanta tonight for NBA TV. Then I'll fly back and probably just going to hang out at home. Our neighbor right behind us, he does a great fireworks. It's almost professionally great, so I don't need to go anywhere.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So your NBA team, what time? I'm going to watch. What time?
I think we go on, 10:30, 11:30 after the last Summer League game, I think. And if Kawhi makes a decision, we'll go on earlier.
Oh, that's cool. What do you think? You think that happens today? I know it's always hard to get in Kawhi's head.
Yeah, well, I think LeBron made his decision last year. It was July 3rd, I think. Yeah, because I was in Atlanta for NBA TV. So, you know, I think he's going to take his meetings, but I think it could come today. I do think, you know, it'll come today and probably, you know, before the 4th, that he can enjoy the 4th and knows where he's going.
What's your best guess? Is it Lakers or Clippers or long shot Raptors?
I think it's down to the Lakers and the Raptors. And I think he's just trying to make a decision. I think both those places give him the best chance to win a championship. He's already proved it in Toronto, and going with LeBron knows he gives him a better chance. So I think those are the two that he'd have to be looking at. And my gut says he's going to go back to Toronto, but I just believe that it's, you know, you get the money, get the 5 years, and as soon as it doesn't work, you can always ask for a trade, and they'll trade you. So get the money now, and then, you know, keep trying to win.
Wow, that's wild. It's funny. Just as someone who loves the game, I was hoping he would take Clippers. And they get to see, you know, Kawhi, LeBron going head-to-head at Staples. That would have been, like, great TNT to NBA TV. You know, that's great entertainment right there.
Yeah, but, you know, wherever he goes, it's going to be head-to-head with LeBron and those guys on TV. If he goes back to Toronto, you got the defending champions, so that's going to be a great story. If he goes to L.A., it's going to, you know, they'll create the stories wherever they go TV-wise, but I just think it's maybe I'm being sentimental. I like him to go back to, you know, I wish guys, like when we grew up, they stayed.
They
stayed with their franchises, and they retired there. But I understand now the money is so big that players can afford to take less and then, you know, give up the fifth year because they're making so much money now.
I know. I feel that. I always feel that way. I mean, it's almost a shame because you have some of these franchises that will never win. Like, the odds are so stacked against the Memphises and even New Orleans. They got a nice team, and Portland's got a nice team. It's so hard for those types of teams to win.
Well, you know what? The whole thing is you got to draft well. If you look at a lot of the teams that, like Masai, he made a couple of trades, but he drafted well. Siakam and some of the guys, you got to find diamonds in the rush. You look at Golden State, they drafted Curry, they drafted Clay, they drafted Draymond. You know, then they add pieces. So you start, you got to draft well. But after you do that, then you can add pieces to it. If you miss on, especially when you have a high lottery picks, if you miss on those guys, it sets you back so far. So, and then those guys you tend to draft, if you do things right and you provide every opportunity, they tend to stay. I know Durant has moved a couple times and Kawhi asked out, but generally they tend to stay if you draft them.
All right, so let's go back home and let's take a look. Sixers dramatic. They do not re-sign Jimmy, and they go Tobias as the centerpiece. They get Horford. What do you think of the five?
Well, what I like about it is that I liked everything Jimmy did in the playoffs. I think he gave them that closure. But at his age, and if he wanted that max deal in 5 years, that's a lot of money to give. You know, just hoping you get 1 or 2 years out of him. Bringing Tobias back and doing the deal to get Josh Richardson so they didn't lose Jimmy for nothing. So they got a player back. And I love the Horford pickup because it gives him a guy when Embiid is, you know, if you're going to rest him and manage his minutes, then you can play Horford at the five. You can start him at the five. Now the key is they got to add some shooting and some other pieces, but I think they're pretty good defensively. They're tougher. I think a little bit more athletic. So I like what they did. If they're going to lose Jimmy, at least they got something back. They're losing for nothing.
Are they bad? Well, what do you think of Josh Richardson? Because I kind of like him a lot. I thought he's an ascending player. He can 6'6" wing, can shoot the three. I expect even better percentage with the proper spacing he'll get in Philly as opposed to what he had in Miami.
Yeah, well, in Miami, I think he also was asked to be the leading scorer, be the guy to carry the offense load. Here he won't. And defensively, you don't lose much with him replacing Jimmy. You get a little more athletic, I think, at this point in Jimmy's career. And then you get a guy offensively that, I think, like you said, just scratch the surface and they get better. I love players that have been in the Miami system. It's like players coming out of San Antonio system. They really know how to work and they understand the game, how to play the game. And he's a great guy. So I think putting him into this system and adding him to the mix, it gives a guy that's just hard-nosed, another tough-nosed guy who's a good guy.
So are they, Ben, we're talking to Billy King on the Comcast Business Hotline. Are they a better team now than they were at the end of last season?
You know, in the last season, they were winning on a lot of talent because they didn't have time to gel and get the chemistry. This group will have a whole training camp, and Brett will have time to really revamp the offense because a lot of the offense went through JJ with a lot of handoffs. So I'm anxious to see them out of training camp. I like the pieces. Now they got to develop that chemistry. I would have liked to have seen if they'd have brought Jimmy back at O Group, if they'd had training camp together, because I think they could have been better than they were at the end of the year. But the one thing is, I knew you couldn't have five max guys. You weren't going to be able to pay Tobias, Jimmy, Ben, and Joel, all those guys max money. You just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the other thing too, I thought JJ was going to come back at a discount. I was surprised he got that kind of money to go to New Orleans.
I think JJ was expecting to come back. You know, his family lives in Brooklyn. They like it there. But when he got that kind of offer, yeah, at his age, that money, and, you know, he's got to take that, you know. And so, as a Duke guy, I'm happy for him. I did like seeing him play here. I love having him around here. I think he was, you know, good for the organization. But you can't, you know, at this point in his career, it's about for him to maximize as much dollars because his career is on the downward side now.
I know. I guess I shouldn't be angry with him because I thought it would be great having him off the bench. I think the only piece that they're really missing is that backup one who could shoot and or that guy that can really just knock down three in flurries.
Yeah, and that's the thing now is you don't want to panic and just sign a guy who you think can fill that void. Maybe find a young guy, or maybe there's a guy that is available in a trade. You know, Kyle Korver got traded to Memphis, and, you know, he's got a buyout. Maybe, you know, he becomes available. He's a guy that can come off the bench. But there's guys that, you know, they just got to be patient now and add the right pieces, and then don't, you know, bring in a piece that you're going to regret later, because there's always going to be guys sitting out there waiting, thinking they're going to get a lot more money, and then their agent's going to call you in about 2-3 weeks and say, we'll take that minimum you're offering.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because, I mean, the Sixers are basically out of room right now, and you do have the deadline and you have the buyout. And I know, listen, when you're president and GM and you got all kinds of pressure on you to kind of win, you do have those kind of maneuverability, right? Like, when it comes to that.
But there's going to be some guys in the next couple of weeks that are going to come in and take minimums. And, you know, just because they're going to look and say, okay, you know, when we were in Brooklyn, we ended up getting Sean Livingston on a minimum, I think it was towards the end of July, and he ended up being a key piece for us with that team we had. You know, then he ended up, you know, got played well and got to Golden State. So they're going to be guys that become available just because they're going to look at the right situation. Hey, I can play there and flourish and get a player option and opt out that I can go get my money next year.
So you, as a Duke man, and you Duke guys stick together. What do you think of the job Elton has done? And have you you text with Elton?
Yeah, I think I really think he's done a good job. And if you ask Elton, he'll say, as a group, you know, because they'll do a lot of things as a group. But I think Elton, being the face of it, being the leader, has done a good job. I was worried that, you know, with all this Jimmy in Miami, I knew Houston was not going to be a reality. But I always thought Miami could be. So then I thought they could make a sign and trade. I just didn't want him to walk away for nothing, because it's hard to replace when you give up pieces for a guy.
Yeah.
And then they leave for nothing. So that to me is, I was happy, because even if they'd have kept Rocco and those other guys, you know, their numbers were going to be up there near Jimmy's numbers also. So I think it worked out well in the end result for them.
Yeah, I think so too. Elton has done a miraculous job along with his staff. But, I mean, BK, they go in the, I was looking at the roster start last season. They go into that season last year with Fultz and Dario and Covington, and it gets made over three different times.
Yeah, no. Well, and you look at Elton, they didn't get the job till late. So by the time he got the job, that roster was built. And so then once they got going in the season, they remake it. Now this is like a full season and a full offseason of putting the roster together. But when he got the job, the roster was in place.
I mean, it's so impressive. I mean, I love what he's done. I really do. I got to ask you, before we let you go, and thanks so much, BK. Don't forget tonight, NBA TV special. We'll get to watch Billy and break down everything. But I want to get into this conversation. We're going to be doing this a lot tomorrow or Friday, and that is the ascent of basketball. Now, you've made your – it's been your life. It's your vocation. The sport now is as big as it's ever been. And I'll ask you the question that we're going to pose. Can basketball overtake football in this country?
No. It'll never happen. And it just because, I mean, you and I love basketball, and a lot of people do. But when you get down in the deep south in Texas, places like that, you know, basketball is a passing thing that they may glance at. But football is religion in all those places. And every Sunday, no matter where you are, somebody is tuning in to watch the Eagles or their team and the Cowboys or their Giants. And the thing that the NFL has over basketball is every Sunday is an event. And you pencil in when training camp starts, to preseason games, the opening day. You know when your team's playing, and you know, okay, at 1 o'clock, this day, this Sunday, I'm not doing anything because I can do it at 4 or 5, but I can't do it from 1 to 5, you know. And we all grew up that way.
Hey, listen, that's how you are a big football fan as you are a basketball fan.
Yeah. So I just think it's, for most of this country, it's just something that's ingrained that Sundays, that's what it is. And in basketball, it's great. I think the basketball has done a great job of taking over the airways in the summertime with free agency, the playoff, the draft. But during the regular season, there's just so many games. It's hard to overtake during the regular season. And then you also have the college game. And that's in football. College football doesn't even compete because they play on Saturdays.
Right.
And just football the whole Sunday. During the NBA season, you could have Duke Carolina on Wednesday. And, you know, the Knicks playing L.A. on Wednesday. And so it's even Christmas Day doesn't rival it because, you know, that's the one day that, you know, they try to compete.
Yeah, it's interesting because I want to get into it a little bit in that, you know, I'm kind of looking deep down in the future, but the inroads that basketball has made in this country, it's amazing because I know you're a big baseball fan, and the NBA is bigger than the MLB right now.
Yeah, no, it is, but baseball is something that is pretty good.
I love it. You're such a Philly. You're such a seamhead, BK. You are. You're a seamhead. All right. Listen, I lied. One last thing, real quick. Do you foresee the NBA going to 58 games and playing that tournament? And the idea for the tournament would be NCAA style. You add teams around the world, include the NBA teams, and do a 3-week NCAA style tournament here in place of the 24 missing games.
Would they do that midseason? I'm sorry, I'm walking outside. I'm sorry. When would that tournament be?
And they were talking about doing it in midseason.
Yeah, I just worry because if you have a guy get hurt midseason playing in that, and you have a chance to lose out on the championship, that's tough.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my worries. You know, I think you'll find guys start saying, "Well, my hamstring's tight. I don't think I can play in this."
Yeah, I. I mean, that's the big worry. It's interesting. BK, listen, thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
We love you, buddy.
All right,
safe trip, man. Tell Melanie and the kids I said hello.
I will, Aunt. Take care.
All right, brother. Billy King on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.